Everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Bleacher Bums. I'm your host, Jim Cromer, and I'd like to welcome in my co-host.
What's happening, guys?
The big man, Jono.
Oh, kind of disappointed, Jim. Kind of disappointed, babe.
What are you disappointed in, pal?
Well, my Reds got a no-hitter last night against Arrieta, and on top of that, they didn't even leave women and children. They sacrificed my entire stadium here. 16-0.
Wow. Before we get on the Debbie Downer, let's invite everybody to make sure they check us out at bleacherbumspodcast.com. That's our website. You can hear a current episode and a couple of our past episodes. This is episode number 4 for us. We're moving right along.
Moving right along, babe.
And, hey, we're having a great time with you guys on Twitter. A lot of great baseball fans in general out there. Check us out at Bums Podcast. Really enjoying all the information. And fans are great. You know, and you know, there, did you have any fans, though, that saw this no-hitter?
Actually, I did. I was watching the MLB. I subscribed to that.
What a great product, too.
Can't beat that. $109, $110.
Whole year.
Whatever game I want to watch, I just click on, boom, I'm watching it.
And with our fantasy thing, this is huge, right?
Yeah. When my batter's up, I just click onto there, and I'm a big supporter of this. I tell you what, if they should jump on board. Well, they should do some advertising.
Who knew it existed?
Yep.
Now everybody that listens to the show is going to know. You're right. They should jump on board. Major League Baseball.
MLB.com.
If you're listening, we're looking for you. Come on board. We're ready to promote you.
Yeah, we love you. Why don't you show some love back?
Absolutely. Yeah, that was a beat. And Jake Arrieta, first Cubs pitcher in history to throw a no-hitter in 2 consecutive seasons.
Dude, he's just a monster now. He's such a proven player that you know when he's getting on that mound, it's lights out. He doesn't care who he's facing.
What was Baltimore thinking?
Yeah. Well, honestly,
another example of overcoaching.
Well, almost like what was Boston thinking, giving up the king, Babe.
Well, they were thinking about the money, right?
Yeah.
And they had no idea what was coming. But the truth is, this guy, okay, Baltimore tried to change him. And he said, something's wrong. I'm not comfortable. And you know what? He's given some interviews where he said it wasn't just him. It was multiple pitchers over there that were scared to pitch the way they wanted to pitch and felt like they had to fall into this conformity. And that's just proven that it just doesn't work. So, obviously.
You know what gets me is, you know, as little kids, we used to always have a big poster of our player and so forth. I had Eric Davis on my wall. I had Pete Rose. I had Johnny. My point is that there is no player nowadays that's so loyal that's going to be retired with the team. Last one I remember like that was probably Biggio. Would you say Biggio went down as a Houston?
Yeah, no, he's
Houston Astro. Yeah. We had your guy Baltimore. Well, what was his name?
Cal Ripken. Yeah. That's a great question. Who can you think of that might be the next guy? I don't even know if it's realistic.
I don't think it's going to happen. With contracts and all this, they're not loyal to one team anymore.
You know, and I understood it at the time, but the one that kind of broke my heart was Ken Griffey. Because he was the kid, he was young, he was exuberant. And then when he was like, I want to go somewhere else, it's like, oh, God.
Yeah. But that's not really the same because they all said he's coming home.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying. It was a little bit different, but at the same time, you can't change the fact that
he did it. Who would you say, though? Who would you say you couldn't see in a different uniform?
I got one.
Tell us.
He's right here.
What, me?
I don't think Yadi plays for anybody else.
You're right. That may be the last of the type of players, big-time players.
I mean, they could be out there. I mean, can you imagine Andrew McCutchen playing for anybody else? I mean, it may happen.
No, I could see that happening.
Really?
I could see him playing for someone else, yeah.
He's been such a part of the resurgence of that organization.
Well, you're not going to see Trout play for the Angels. I think he's going.
You think?
I think that Trout will go where the money's at, and there's going to be a lot of – of course, Harper's one of those guys, too.
Well, wait a minute. We just had Jeter. We're trying to think of a name. We just had Jeter.
Jeter.
Yeah.
And Biggio and Cal. And what was Mariano?
Rivera.
Rivera.
And there are some other guys. Of course,
there's a lot more players, but you don't see that in the majority.
That type of iconic image. Right. And those are good players to mention. But I mean, look at Pujols. I've said for a thousand times over, he made a huge mistake. Now, he may not care what we or anybody thinks, but this guy was on pace to be immortalized in a city, you know, to have a statue, no different than Stan Musial.
But I think that he knew that. See, I'm going to argue with you on this. I really think that he knows what his real age is, and I think he went to get the money.
Yeah,
I
money
really
you
think.
Need.
Yeah, well, in his mind, let me be set and let my family be set for the rest of their life too, and my grandkids be set.
Well,
that's the way he's looking at it.
And you know he's my guy.
I mean, I know he's your
my
guy.
Favorite all time player.
But I think he definitely
really,
looked for the money.
I mean, here we are years later still talking about this. You're never going to get away from the fact that the guy openly said, "Why would I go somewhere else over $3 million a year?" And essentially, that's basically what he did.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
and I love when they say this. It wasn't about the money.
No, they all sit down
with a different hat on. They go, "It wasn't about the money." Bull.
You know what? Can't you see Bryce Harper saying, "It absolutely is about the money"? You're darn right it is.
That's Doc Holliday.
Can't you see him doing
that?
Oh,
I can see him saying
that.
Yeah,
it's about money. Why is it not okay about money for us, but they can make all this
money?
Of course it's about money.
I totally agree.
Bryce, and that's why I like him. I like the guy because I could see him saying that. You know who else likes him?
Who's that?
Our new commissioner loves Bryce Harper, in my opinion. Rob Manfred. I mean, I don't think he's come right out and expressed love, but he likes what Bryce Harper's trying to sell to everybody, and that is we should bring more fun into the game. We should be doing more things to energize the game. Forget all these old school rules and can't have any fun and do us. This Manfred likes it. And let me tell you something. He's got to take this game into another generation, and Bryce Harper, you couldn't ask for a better face for that, obviously.
I mean, honestly, why are we always freaking out when a guy like Batista hits a home run and stands there for at least a second and a half and why? We want to see that.
No, I agree.
Come on.
And I've said it 100 times over. So it's okay for a pitcher to strike a guy out in a big situation.
And pump that thing.
And, you know, like we loved Chris Carpenter in town here because he would show all this emotion and he would get all fired up, and we loved it. But the minute somebody did something and looked at him wrong, he was ready to kill him. And then we wanted to defend that too. So a lot of times it's how big a fan are you. But I don't know. Bryce Harper, to me, is what this commissioner wants the game, where he wants it to go.
Well, so, yeah, there's got to be some more excitement. This isn't golf outing where everyone's got to be quiet, good hit, and then you clap. You know what? We want to see some emotion out there. Speaking of emotion, what about our standings? What's going on here? We got the Dodgers in the West so far, 10-6. That's a tight knit group right there. Colorado, Arizona. Arizona really impressed the hell out of me.
I've heard you've been
Frisco.
On them. You're on them. Like you think they're for real. I know that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I got to change my mind about something here, guys.
What do you got?
I think Arizona's the dark horse there. They went to Frisco, put on a clinic, four games in a row, and this Arizona team, I tell you what, they impressed me.
Well, I think I had them from the beginning. You head over to the Central. I think everybody expected the Cubs, and boy, they're putting it on people.
Cubs are, I got to say, they're going to run away with this one.
I
think everyone else is fighting for second here. I think Pittsburgh, St. Louis. I think Pittsburgh, once they get going, they always seem to start off slow. And McCutchen, I don't know what his problem is. He always starts off slow.
That's your guy, though.
That's my guy. He's on my team. But even when I didn't have him, the other guy had him. He started slow for him, too. So, you know.
And then you head over to the East. Bryce Harper's definitely got the Nationals rolling there for real, for sure. Yep.
And in the American League?
Well, Baltimore, they're an offensive machine. They've slowed down a little bit. And here comes Toronto, kind of, you know, they're on that roller coaster a little bit, but they're coming.
How many times are you going to see lead change in that East?
It's going to be a tough
one.
Well, look at Boston sitting there at about 500. Everybody thinks they were coming. I don't know.
No, I think they're for real. I think Boston, they're playing really good. Why is Ortiz even retiring? The guy still looks like a beast.
I wondered that, you know.
Do they face pressure from the team, from fans, from media? Why is he leaving?
Maybe they went to him and said, "There's no way we can pay you next year." I don't know. That's an odd one. I'm with you on that. But he's not the first one. I mean, there's a lot of guys that retire.
Do you ride off into the sunset with a great year, or do you ride off in the sunset with a mediocre year and you're saying, "I can't do it anymore"?
Well, he seems to be doing okay.
I know. I think just
Rivera
don't understand
was that way. Rivera could have kept pitching. Jeter probably could have kept playing. Although Jeter obviously was not his old self, but they could have done it. But you know, it's a tough thing because I think as a fan you'd like to see him stay. But you're right. Maybe the organization went to him and said you might want to think about this because we can tell you we don't have you in the budget past this year. So if you want to go play somewhere else, we completely understand. But I don't know what else to do. And maybe he doesn't want to do that. Maybe for his post career. You know, sometimes these guys start thinking about post-career, too. But, you know, hey, let's head into the Central. We got the Royals and the White Sox both sitting there with 10 wins. And I think we kind of had that as them going back and forth. Detroit sitting right at about 5.
I don't think
yeah.
Detroit's going to be out of the picture here, too. I think Detroit's pitching is a little questionable, but I think these three are going to duke it out. You may find this to be the Central A. American League division here as the most contrast. Everything's going to be – they're going to just beat the hell out of each other.
Well, I think they're getting everything out of Zimmerman they asked for. I mean, he's been everything in a bag of chips for them, and now they need Verlander to be Verlander. And you're right. I think they got the anchor there.
I'll ask Coop when he gets in here. I don't think the guy is ever going to get what he was. I don't see Verlander as ever finding that old form. And we talked about that last week, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
We're going to we cover the West?
No, but look at that. Look at Houston in last place, Texas in first, which I know everybody kind of likes Texas and all that. But, man, look at Oakland once again finding a way, even though it's only 9-7, finding a way to compete. But that Houston at 5-11, that's interesting.
That's very shocking. That's very shocking. Altuve's playing good, but the big-time players right now got to step up.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Springer. I think everybody was ready for Springer to take that next step. He's been just okay. Rasmus has been really good for him. White's been good. They're just not getting it out of some of – and their pitching just hasn't been there except for Keuchel. But,
they're really struggling just to try to keep up because they're scoring some runs, but it's not enough.
Right.
It's not enough.
Well, you know, hey, I want to touch on something. We talked a little bit earlier about the commissioner and how much he likes – the exuberance and the stuff that's coming out of the players. Boy, there is one thing that's going on in baseball that I got a real problem with, and I want to get your thoughts on it. And when Coop gets in here, I'd love to hear his thoughts.
Big problem, huh?
I got a big problem. I've been on this bandwagon now for a little while, and I can't take it anymore. And it's partially because of other sports, too, that are big on it, and that's replay. Replay challenges. I am so anti-replay. I can't take another diving play by an infielder, pops to his feet, throws across the diamond, bang, bang at first, and everybody's got to stand there.
You know what I'm mad about?
In my opinion, it's killing the game.
You know what? You got a great point, but what I'm mad about that's really irritating the hell out of me is these umpires, there's no repercussion to these guys. They can call someone
that we know of.
Honestly, you're seeing, okay, let's move on. Let's have it on replay. They should make it to where if the umpire keeps slowing down the game by making a bad call, he should be penalized as well. There should be some sort of suspension maybe or some sort of penalty, some sort of fine. I mean, how many of these can you blow and then say, don't worry, because the instant replay will save me again?
Well, here's the thing, though, if you look at it. So there's a banger or a play or something that you don't like in a game. What happens? So for the next 15 seconds, the game completely stops while a manager steps up on the top step. His assistant coach is on the phone talking to somebody. They're looking at video replay. Then they tell him yes or no. I will be honest with you and say this. How many times have we seen that and the manager turn around and wave bye? These guys,
I get
they
it, but there's
it
so
right.
much more right now.
They get it right a lot more than we give them credit for.
Well, your commish that you love so much, he's introduced that you can't slide into second base
hard.
I don't like that.
No, that's what I'm saying. As much as I like that part about him, I've got a problem with the way where the game is going. I don't like – you cannot make a new rule every time somebody gets hurt.
No, I totally agree with you. And that rule's always been in effect. If you stick your hand out to try to get his leg or something, you should be out
no matter what. Yeah. Just call the rule. It's like the strike zone. Everybody complains about the strike zone. Just call it the way it's written, and we won't have any problems.
And how about eliminating the replay just for the home run aspect of
it? That's all we need. And here's the other
thing.
Let's
make it a human game again.
I agree. And now here's the thing.
Let's bring those big waffle pads that the umpires used to have.
Yes.
The All-American League umpires used to have that big waffle thing in the front of them. They stick that head right between there, and the boom. I mean, they had these big cushions. You don't see that anymore.
No, and these guys take balls off the shoulders and that, and then they act like they're dying. It's like, where's your protective gear at? But no, that's kind of where I'm at with it. But
Arrieta getting no-hitter, wow. I mean, they didn't have any prisoners left on that field.
You know, since we're kind of, you know, we're becoming big time here, right? We're out there, right?
I think so.
We're big time, and we're going to cover some debatable topics from time to time, and luckily we're our own bosses, and we can only get in trouble by ourselves. But what do you think about Curt Schilling getting let go? I mean, he's had some run-ins before. This time they said, this is enough, you're out.
You know what? I really don't want to cover Curt Schilling. I mean, I got a different view. I don't want people to get pissed at me or whatever.
I'm just saying
to you right now, what he said is probably how we all feel. If some guy walked in the bathroom with a wig on, it would scare my kid.
Right. No, what I was saying
that's
more
what
is,
I'm
though,
saying.
What
I don't
saying
care.
More, though, is do you think that's justified, though?
ESPN fires people left and right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's
they're
the
quick on the draw on that. So, Chris Schilling's always been
that's
like
I mean.
This, though.
He's always,
been
yeah.
very controversial. The guy's strong in what he believes in. Good for him, but you know what? I don't know.
Well, it's got to be a hard thing,
it's not worth
right?
losing your job over.
Well, does he? I think he needs the job, right? Didn't he have a big money?
Everyone needs a job.
No, he had money problems, right? Even though he made all these
millions. I don't know. I'm sure he did, but the guy's got to just relax and worry about the game. That's what it's all about. ESPN's hired you. Talk baseball.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's all I'm saying. We're in the bleachers. We're enjoying a great game out there. I don't want to talk about what's outside the game.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's what I was wondering if you were on it or not. So that's good stuff.
Yeah. It's been rough out there, but I'm seeing a lot of teams. They're not consistent to me this year. I mean, you're seeing
a lot of up and down.
A lot of up and down. You're seeing first place teams that are suddenly losing to last place teams, and when do you think this evens out?
Well, I don't know, but is it good for the game?
Well, I'm sure it's good for the game.
You know, kind of
but
like football.
It's not
football.
For me I mean, whenever I
right,
go to
yeah,
Vegas
yeah,
and I'm
yeah,
going to bet
you.
On a
I
team. You know, I don't know what's going on.
Ultimately, isn't this what they wanted with football? They wanted parity, right?
Right.
And if you just look at the standings, and I know it's early in the season, we don't have anybody that's like two. And I mean, the closest would be the Atlanta Braves. But we got a lot of teams hovering around 500, give or take a game. And then, of course, you've
and
got
Houston's
some teams
Houston's not
going to
stay
well.
At five
no,
wins.
I don't
I
think
mean,
so,
yeah.
For sure. But – no, I would have to agree with you on that. But, again, it's early, and we know that a lot of times that people, you know, certain things got to catch up. But I don't know, man. There's some good players out there scuffling.
Do you think now I'm a big Reds fan, and if they're hovering around 500, do you still trade Jay, Bruce, or do you keep him? Or
well,
what,
you got to trade him. You already traded him. I mean, I that's got to be an awkward situation. You traded him, and the trade fell apart because of an injury on
right.
a guy. What's that like to go to work every day? I mean, I guess at that juncture, you know what it is.
You know what? I definitely know what Jay's thinking. He's thinking, hey, here's a team that's not going to be able to afford me. Let me just do what I can for the team. But I'm looking at that first baseman named Votto and saying, what are you doing? What have you done to earn $200 million? And I guarantee there's a lot of guys on that team right now that just look at him kind of funny.
Well, you know, we touched on Pujols earlier, and I can tell you there's two guys that played a huge role in him exiting St. Louis because of the money being so far outlandish, and it was him and Ryan Howard, Votto and Howard. When they got those deals, well, then, of course, what was Pujols worth, right, if that's how you're going to do it? So, yes, you're right. What a lot, $200 million for Votto.
Yeah, I'm looking at him, you know, if I'm in the outfield, I'm going – all I wanted was a couple million more. I would have been happy with $5 million a year. Now you're giving this guy, what, 12 million a year?
Maybe more than that. He's
more than that, maybe.
Yeah, no,
I mean, come
no, I agree.
On, and you're not producing?
Yeah.
That brings a lot of tension in that locker room.
Well, there's a lot of tension everywhere, but, you know, I'm with you on that, though. I mean, the parity right now, I don't know that, that we're going to have that. You know,
speaking of parity,
115 win team this year. I don't know that we're going to have it.
I agree.
We're going to have a 100 win team.
Speaking of parity, too.
Yep.
I kind of enjoy NHL.
Yeah.
And I've been watching the playoffs too, guys. And I tell you what, man, you could find all the great stuff happening in NHLpodcast.com. You've got Darren Panger. He used to be a goalie for Blackhawks. Now he works for the Blues.
He's like 5'2".
I don't care.
Isn't that amazing, though? He was
beautiful.
A goalie in the NHL. He's 5'2".
For the Blackhawks, and he's like doing the Blues game, and I love that. And then you got Kelly Chase. These two guys are covering this NHL thing really great. I was in my car today listening to it.
Did you see the contest they ran?
Yeah.
It was awesome.
They got so many people involved in that.
They gave away two. This is just genius, okay? They gave away two tickets to Game 5 last night, which was an unbelievable game, by the way. It's a shame our Blues lost it. But
it's you, though, dude. It's you.
You've
got to stop picking our team.
I know. So they gave away two tickets to the contest last night, which was probably one of the most exciting games at Scott Trade Center they've ever had. And they ran this contest where the fans were asked to go find the most famous person you could find to retweet the giveaway for the tickets. Did you see who won? Let me tell you who was in the lead for a while. She's one of my favorites.
Tell me.
They got some girl from St. Louis got Alyssa Milano to retweet it.
You're kidding.
I love her.
Oh, I know you.
She's on the list.
Wasn't she on your wall, big poster of her?
Oh, yeah, in that hockey uniform.
Yeah. What was that, jersey?
It was New Jersey Devils, but
it
wasn't
New
mine.
Jersey Devils.
It was on Doug Seuss's wall. But that's fine. We were in the same room. But here's the thing. She's on my list.
She's on your list.
Yeah, I can. If I ever can hook up with Alyssa, I get
a
free
she's not pass. Hooking up with you.
You don't know that.
Oh, stop
Come
it.
Come on. So anyway. So guess who won,
though? It's like the beer guy coming around giving us free beer. That's not going to happen either.
Last minute, guess who won?
Who's that?
Somebody got MC Hammer to retweet.
MC Hammer.
Yeah, he had like 3 million Twitter followers or something. Isn't that amazing?
That's beautiful.
Don't hurt him, Hammer.
That's beautiful,
Don't hurt
man.
Him.
Too legit to quit.
It is too legit to quit.
Well, hey, you know what? That's a great show. NHLpodcast.com. It's part of Lineup Media group.com. You got great shows on there.
Make sure you're checking out lineupmediagroup.com. There's going to be some show on there depending on what your entertainment flavor
we
is.
We got so many new shows coming
Absolutely.
On left and right.
Got
left
some really
and right.
good stuff. And don't forget to check us out, bleacherbumspodcast.com. And of course, like I said at the beginning, I'm loving all the interaction on Twitter. @bumspodcast is where you'll find us. Coop, get on in here.
I am in here.
Get yourself comfortable in your seat there. I see you got yourself a cocktail And I know you're ready to import some wisdom into us this week. You had some good stuff last week for sure. You had Syndergaard, which of course he did well, but he's doing well no matter what goes on. So that was a good pick. Jed Jorko.
You didn't give the guy any credit there.
I'm not giving him any credit. Syndergaard,
what are you talking about? The guy brought up a good player, and then you downplay it.
That's like me saying take Babe Ruth.
You could have said take David Price. You could have said take, and they didn't do well.
Yeah. It's like saying take Babe Ruth. Come on, no, Syndergaard. The guy's store right now. No.
There's a lot of stars out there. Identified him.
All right. Well, he picked Jed Jorko to sit. That was a good one. This guy's only had two at-bats. He was dead on there.
That's big.
Yeah, no, that's what
I'm
saying.
It's a big play.
Good play. So I'm interested to see what he's got for us this week. And you'll notice I didn't go pick up anybody last week either, so no more accusations.
Well, I was trying to find people that you couldn't go pick up.
Oh, here we go.
No kidding.
It's like strategic information.
When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen.
So how you doing, Coop? How's your club doing, your fantasy club?
You know, I'm doing pretty well. Had a big week last week.
Yeah?
Shut out our good friend from Joe Buck yourself.
Or a Jenga.
And that felt awfully good. Team's doing good. Everybody's doing good.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about this week? You want to talk start, sit, sleep?
If we're going to start, we should always start with start, right?
Let's start with start. All start
right.
Start this week. You're going to accuse me of going back to it, but I got to tell you, for a guy that's already hot, and by the way, who normally does not start out hot, this should scare everybody because this guy has started out really hot. He has two amazing starts this week in terms of matchups, and that's Clayton Kershaw. So Kershaw this week starts against Tom Kaler and the Miami Marlins, and he starts against Drew Pomeranz and the San Diego Padres, both of them at Chavez Ravine, both of them at home. He is an absolute must-start. And people would argue Kershaw is a must-start almost every week. My point here is when we're talking about start, like what is the absolute best player you can pick up to start or that you can put in your lineup? Most people are going to have Kershaw in their lineup anyway. If you have him in your lineup or you have him on your team, you have to have him in the lineup this week because he is an absolute must start, which, by the way, I think also goes the other way with some of these other guys, and you'll see that a little bit later on the sit.
Well, try to remember, though. Well, hang on a minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
Try to remember, though. This information doesn't just work if you're in a like a league like ours. This is if you're out there doing DraftKings or FanDuel or one of these other things.
That's what I was saying.
I mean, it's important to pay attention to stuff like this because when you get a guy in a certain night or whether it's a one-week deal, two starts against those types of opponents, hey, you know as well as I do, it's like a tenth of a point sometimes between winning and losing. And this, you know, and if you can fit him in the money.
Absolutely.
I guarantee you, in Vegas, they're going to have this guy at minus 280 to 300.
Yeah.
Minus 300 to 280.
Yeah, these are setting up as ass kickings, both of them. Yeah. Particularly given the way the Dodger bats are doing okay.
But you know what? We're not looking at it like that. We're looking at a win. If you got Kershaw, you know, there's no question you're gonna sit him and put a save guy. Forget about it. But you got to have Kershaw in there.
You got another start guy for us?
I do. I'm going to go back to our buddies in Pittsburgh. And the last time I recommended that we should start the entire Pittsburgh outfield, I'm not going to do that this time.
Oh, please.
Yeah, McCutcheon's been a little rough. But Pittsburgh's got a great schedule this week. They play three at home against Cincinnati. Then they go four away at Colorado. So if you have Starling Marte, start him. He started really, really well.
He set out
for a few weeks or for a few days with a hand, but he's back in, killing it. Hot, you got to start.
Yeah, he's done it all, man. Power,
I want to rebuttal on this. He's going to rip on my Reds like that. I got to rebuttal on this because the Reds have been playing Pittsburgh really well, and Pittsburgh's not showing that they're playing really good against teams that are under 500 right now. Do you think this is their breakout period? Do you think that this is going to do it?
I don't necessarily know that they'll break out against Cincinnati. I think the games are going to be really close. I've said from the beginning, I think Cincinnati is a legit team in this division. I don't think they're one of the teams that's going to get run over like a Milwaukee in this division. So I don't necessarily know that I think the Pirates are going to go in there and run the table. I just think that the matchups that Marte is facing this week benefit him more than any other outfielder.
Gotcha. And that outfield has been the entire team. They're like the Bermuda Triangle right now. They have not done anything offensively.
If you look at it, Starling Marte is about 25% of their entire offensive production.
Wow.
For a team where he should be, you know, 1/8.
Josh Harrison's done all right.
And with a team like Chicago out there,
yeah.
I mean, how much can you just sit back and take losses? These guys may run off with the division here. And everyone's talked about Pittsburgh and the Cardinals are the only ones that could hang there.
You can't run off of the division in April. Now, you can – the games count the same, but you can't run off of it in April.
Well, and keep in mind, too, this is the – what's happening in the first part of the season is exactly what happened to the Cubs last year. Last year, everything that could go right for them went right. They had the Rookie of the Year, the Cy Young Award, the Manager of the Year, which is an absolute joke being third and the Manager of the Year. But they had everything go right, and they were in third place. This year – they have had every single thing go right, including, by the way, the injury to
Schwarber.
Because I'm telling you right now, that guy was going to kill him in left field and with his bat. He's not a major league player, and people can shoot at me if they want to. He might hit 30 home runs, but he's going to hit 113 along the way and drop 35 fly balls. So, great thing to happen to the Cubs is that Schwarber got hurt. And everything has gone perfectly, right? Arrieta pitched a no-no yesterday or the last couple of days. And so everything's gone perfectly right, and they're still only three games up. That, to me, doesn't say a team that's going to run away with anything.
Yeah, how you like that, bud?
Well, I disagree. I think that they got respect up and down that lineup. Again, he's banking on maybe some injuries and so forth. What are you calling it?
Their pitching's not any good. I mean, if you look at
they pitched a no-hitter last night.
Arrieta's a very, very good pitcher. He was average at best 1 year ago.
Wow.
Right?
That's a big statement.
So is he an ace? He's pitching like it right now. Will he stay that way? Whenever in any instance you have 12 months of evidence that shows that he's really good and 36-plus months of evidence that show that he's average or below average, until he gets to that 36-month point, I still think he's going to revert to what he is.
So he's got one more year to go in your mind?
I don't know. I don't know what he's got to go. I just, you know, he may have figured it out. There's all these articles that he's figured out. He's either figured out something to put in his body that makes him really good, he's figured out, it might be orange juice. I didn't say anything bad.
Yeah.
Or he's figured out some mechanical things that are a little bit different.
Well, and that's
I don't buy yet.
That's the highly publicized thing is all the dealings. You know, he's criticizing Baltimore and the way they do things, and he's saying now, but, you know, I mean, typically what we see is if a guy's dominant, they don't change him too much. So he must have had some issues where they felt like they needed to change him from the beginning. So there's an argument to be made on both sides of that. I agree.
We'll see. And by the way, if he keeps it up, if he goes through this entire year and he's a Cy Young Award winner again, then I think you have to anticipate that's going to happen going forward. But 1 year, I don't necessarily know that I buy yet.
It is tough to have a 20-game winner in Chicago, though. I mean, it's a
why is it
small
so tough?
Ballpark.
Huh?
And when the wind's blowing out, I mean, that flies out of there. Anyway, you make some good points, but we'll see. They're looking really tough right now, though.
They are.
It's hard not to jump on their ship.
No, they look really good. Yeah. They're three games up.
Yeah, well, weasel move.
Who are we sitting this week?
This week we're going to sit Drew Pomerantz.
Is that it for your starters? You got no other closet starters?
No other closet starters.
All right. So you're sitters?
Drew Pomerantz, you got to sit him. In addition to facing Clayton Kershaw at L.A., he also goes to San Francisco and faces Madison Bumgarner. So if you have Drew Pomerantz, please either drop him immediately or sit him on your bench for an extended period of time.
Can't you see one of these guys calling in here going, hey, pal. Oh,
I guarantee you we just made a lot of Chicago fans. They're going to be emailing us.
And we got a lot of them, too, and we do appreciate you very much in the Windy City. The views portrayed by Coop here don't necessarily
reflect the views. We love him. It's portrayed on all of us. All right. Anything that guy says, it's okay with. He can be in my foxhole.
All right, so we're cutting Pomerantz. Pomerantz is out.
Yep. The other guy that is a must sit is and Jono's going to get offended. His beloved Cincinnati Reds, Billy Hamilton, coming off a hand injury. He's got a hurt thumb. He's just coming off that hurt thumb. Certainly isn't going to help you hit any better. And he was only hitting 162 coming into it. The problem for Billy Hamilton is you can't steal first base. That's the real problem. I love him. He's incredibly exciting. But for what they're doing this week, they face Pittsburgh in the early part of the week. I think you got to sit Billy Hamilton.
Do you realize you just crushed this guy? I sit next to him. He has offered Billy Hamilton in a trade to every team in our league.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you
have. No, I haven't. I've had a couple guys. That's it. You're just there listening to everything I'm doing.
What are you, scared Hills?
You're a weasel. No, that's not it. You make him sound cheap, and I'm not going to go down that way and make it an Ellsbury type of deal again.
He's terrible.
You guys tabooed him.
162.
He's hitting one. If you hear Coop, he's
so what? So was goddamn McCutcheon. What's he hitting? Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Oh, a shot across the bow.
I don't have McCutcheon.
I got McCutcheon, too.
Yeah, I didn't see you offering him to anybody, Village.
No, because these guys are they're just going through a little bad time. That's all. He just said it too. The Pittsburgh's going to come back. Much more livelier bets than that.
Okay.
And your team, you know what? I've seen your team. I don't like your team at all.
No, I don't like my team either, but I don't have Billy Hamilton on it. And I haven't offered
trust
him
me,
to every trade.
No, two people. That's it. And I don't like you really bringing up negative stuff when I'm trading someone either.
What are you talking about?
Well, we're in the war room, and you're talking about trading and me trading, and the next thing you know, you said something, and the guy goes, oh. And he walked out. That Scott guy is very – I mean, he listens to everything people say. He takes everything. He's a Kansas Jayhawk fan, for crying out
loud. You offered this guy three horrible players for Jose Bautista, and you're blaming me because he didn't take it.
I gave him the same guy.
Steve Chizik.
Yeah, the closer for Seattle.
Who's terrible.
He's had three, four saves.
Okay.
One point something ERA.
All right.
All right?
Yeah.
And then I got Billy Hamilton, and then I gave up Hosmer. Yeah, three terrible. Get out of here.
All right,
yeah.
I'd rather have Bautista than those three players. How about you, Coop?
And that poor guy, old dad that you made that deal with. I mean, you gave him a $60 crap player from the Dodgers, a $60 Turner. That was like the Louisiana Purchase.
He got Jordan Zimmerman, too, as part of that deal, knucklehead.
That's horrible. You're a horrible individual.
All right.
Turner couldn't play for any team.
Okay. He's a
$60
guy,
and you're the one that bid on him. What was old dad thinking?
I don't know.
He called me up. He was almost crying on the phone.
All right. I think it's time for the sleep, as you can hear him sleeping over there.
Oh, you guys
we're
done?
We're done arguing. All right.
All right.
Sleep time.
Well, I think for a pitcher, you're gonna if he's available in your league, you're gonna want to go pick up Ross Stripling this week. Stripling from the LA Dodgers.
You're buying it, huh?
I am buying it. He's also got some good matchups this week. He's pitching against Wei-Yin Chin from the Miami Marlins and against Colin Ray from the San Diego Padres. It's two good matchups for him. This is the guy, if nobody remembers it, in the first week of the season, had pitched a no-no through 7 1/3, and because he had hit a certain pitch limit they didn't want, they pulled him out of the game while pitching a no-hitter. And while a lot of people were outraged, he was fine with it. I thought it was funny that ESPN interviewed his dad, and his dad was fine with it.
Well, his dad was fine with it. I don't know if he was fine with it.
Like 12-year-old baseball. Yes. It's fantastic. You know, Mr. Stripling, are you okay with your son? You know, anyway. So they pulled him. He's had two really good starts since then. The guy could be the real deal. He came in as the fifth starter only because Hu Jin-ryu was out of commission. He's going to come back in a couple weeks. But if I had to guess, I'm guessing that Stripling's going to stay in that rotation.
Who's his matchups this week?
His matchups this week, as I just mentioned, are Y-Yin Chin from the Miami Marlins and Colin Ray from the San Diego Padres. So he's a two-start pitcher. Good guy to pick up this coming week.
Okay.
Wow. Who else you got? You got a hitter for us?
I do have a hitter for you. I've got another L.A. Dodger. Enrique Hernandez, the center fielder for the Dodgers. He's batting 361 with 8 RBIs. He's absolutely on fire. He's got great pitching matchups this week. The other great thing about Enrique Hernandez is he's got great positional eligibility for the leagues, in particular, that where you only need one start or one inning at a position. He's eligible. I think it's second base, shortstop, third base, and outfield. So
wow.
Really good position eligibility guy, and he's killing it right now. Looks like he's going to hang on to that spot for a while as well.
Hey, Coop, what position out there there's not too much of? What position do you look at and say, you know what, if I'm going to grab an elite player, obviously, it's not the outfield. You got a lot of outfielders that can do it. Is there one specific position out there that you say, I got to focus in on that because there's not too many of them?
It's Buster Posey. It's catcher. There's only one.
Catcher.
There's one elite.
Is he it?
There's one elite guy. Then it falls off the map. Then you get all sorts of arguments about who's in that next group. But at the end of the day, he is the most – catcher's always a very scarce position for talent. But over the past couple of years, it's been, from when I think 3 years ago or 2 years ago, LaCroix was there with him in that elite sect. There was a time when Yadier Molina may have been in that argument as well from an offensive standpoint. But both those guys have clearly fallen off in the last couple of years. The only one there is Posey.
I like LaCroix, though.
Is that because of the team for Milwaukee? I mean, if they traded him, would his stock go back up again?
I don't know that it would. That's a good park to hit in.
Yeah, it is a good park. Well, he's got nothing around him, really. I mean, a couple guys around him, but his problem has been injuries. I mean, look, that's the problem with catchers in general. You get the shit beat out of you sitting back there, both from a physical standpoint on your knees and also just all the foul tips and, you know, everything else. You know, it's like being in a boxing match and then having to go out and hit a baseball. Really, really tough to do.
And that was the thing with Schwarber, was he was going to be a catcher.
Exactly.
Well, he obviously wasn't a very good catcher because they tried to put him in the outfield. I mean, so, you know, again.
Yeah, that was a real bum rap how he got hurt, man.
Well,
I feel terrible for him. It's awful. It's awful to watch, particularly as a young guy, too.
Sure, I don't know.
And by all accounts, he's a great guy.
Sure.
You know, unfortunately, he's not a great baseball player.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man.
All right, well.
He's harsh on
him. He always lands a shot at the end.
He does.
I mean, just a little pop.
You know why?
There.
It's because it's T.O.'s guy. That's why.
Yeah, you're right. He's got a thing with T.O.
This is good stuff, my man. Hey, got some thoughts on replay? We told the listeners we were going to catch your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I love replay, and I love it. I do. I don't love it as a viewer. As a viewer, it slows the game down, obviously, and it's annoying to see all the going back and forth. But I'd rather him get it right than get it quick. And so, you know, if a guy's out, a guy's out. That's it. Because the problem at that level is that, you know, the play is so good. And so when you get the bang-bang play, particularly at first base or really anywhere it is, I'd rather they get it right, right? It's what's fair to these guys who've put their whole lives into getting there, you know? And
but
it's the difference. One hit a week. That's the other thing. One hit a week is the difference between a 300 average and a 260 average. So, you know. That one hit really matters to some of these guys.
Well, what about these umpires, though? I mean, there should be some sort of repercussion on every.
Oh no, they're absolutely held accountable. So every time they're reviewed, So what they do now with the review system, they not only review the calls that are actually reviewed, they review every single call of every game, including balls and strikes. And if guys go below a certain level, they're pulled. So
really,
oh yeah, no. There's a major,
sure.
major.
I'm happy with that now.
Yeah, no, I knew there was something, but like I said, it surprisingly, how many times in a game, and just pay attention to this. Sometime, you'll see a play, a banger or whatever, or a throw out at second. You'll see the manager come up to the top step. You'll see the guy in the background, and then all of a sudden they'll just wave and go down. These guys get it right more than you
we
think they do.
We never see manager arguments anymore. Well, I love that.
Well, you can't. That's the whole thing. Yeah. You can't do it.
I know. Now, here, that was part of the game.
So if you're going to keep replaying, here's what I want to see, though.
Earl Weaver out there.
Oh, yeah. Here's what I want to see, though. If you want it replayed, you got 5 seconds. If you think it was close enough to your naked eye, come on out and ask me to challenge it. Don't sit there and call upstairs. I hate that. I can't stand it.
Why?
It's killing the emotion.
They have their camera. That team's got their camera. They want to make it right
emotion.
As well.
It's killing the emotion.
Oh.
I like when you made a big play. If you dove, come up, threw it to first, and it was a banger, you were out.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm sorry. I love it. Right, wrong, or indifferent.
Imagine if they had that replay in that Kansas City-St. Louis World Series.
You're looking at a guy
devastated.
You're
looking at another World Series.
I agree.
For
devastated.
St. Louis.
Devastated.
So
anyway, well, good stuff as always, Coop. We really appreciate your help.
And Coop,
thanks for having me.
There was one more thing that we brought up, and it's, you know, you just don't see teams anymore. You don't see little kids growing up with a player and the player retiring with the team. You credit the free agency. You credit the contracts and so forth. Are you going to see less and less of this? Are you going to see on a turnaround maybe 2-3 years on these big-time players? You definitely – what's your call on Trout? Will he stay as Angel or will he go?
Depends on if they pay him and how good his stats are by the time his contract comes up. I mean, that's the thing is that, to me, the era of somebody staying at a team their entire career, it's over. I mean, it'll happen periodically. It happened with Jeter even through the free agency period and those kind of things. But that's also – it's only going to happen in the bigger markets because guys can make as much money outside of baseball as they can inside of baseball a lot of times in an L.A. or a New York or whatever. And so it'll happen more in the bigger cities, the Chicagos, the L.A.s, New Yorks, et cetera. You know, I think that Albert Pujols is a great example, right? He was a guy that could have stayed here. He made the right choice financially to go do what he had to do. But, you know, he lost his place in Cardinal history from a – you know, the lifelong Cardinal, the Red Shandys, you know, those kind of guys that have come through. I just think you're going to see it less and less and less. But that's what the world is today, right? We can keep wishing the world was like it was 30 years ago. 30 years ago, guys stayed at General Motors for 50 years and retired. That doesn't happen anymore either. So yeah. It's just the world we live in.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're going to see another one retire with that type of team format, like a big-time team, and the Boston Red Sox with Ortiz.
Well, but he came from Minnesota.
Yeah, he came from
Minnesota. He came from Minnesota.
Yeah.
And well, what about our second baseman from Boston? I don't think he's going anywhere. He'll retire there.
Pedroia. I mean, he's a good player, but I don't know you're going to call him.
He is the ideology.
I love him.
Ideal player for Boston. I mean, that's the type of player Boston.
Yeah, but he's not iconic.
Yeah, I think so.
No, he's not. If you've been to Boston, he's not at all. Like, an iconic player in Boston is, you know, like Noma, right?
Yeah.
Noma was a huge Boston guy. Nobody in Boston.
They traded him.
He's my great guy.
They traded him.
I agree. I think he left, didn't he, as a free agent?
Yeah, but he, I mean.
Went
he
to the hurt. Yanks.
He's hurt.
Didn't he go to the Yanks?
No, Dodgers.
Yeah.
Oh, he went to the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing, though. He was hurt.
Yeah.
But I think Yachty really is the next guy that's an iconic player that's probably going to finish his career. He'll finish his career as a Cardinal. Only because he doesn't have any marketability after catching. See, a lot of these guys will go to these other teams because they can hit.
Well, he may be able to go to American League, but he can't hit as good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So why would anybody even want him if he can't catch?
You're right.
So when he's done catching here, nobody else is going to want him either.
He's done,
It's also hard, though. It's hard to go from a full-time catcher to a DH position.
Yeah.
You know, like I
Ask
said.
Ask Joe Mauer.
Yeah, these guys just get beat up so much for so long that it's really, really hard to do. I think you're right, though. I think Yadier Molina – he's made if you look at his career, he's made every right choice at every single turn of his career. And, you know, he's going to go down as Cardinal royalty. He's won World Series. He's won all of his gold gloves. Everybody loves him. He's been nice. He's good to the media. He's good to the community. You know, he's a guy that no matter what happens, he could bat, you know, 083 for the rest of his Cardinal career. He's still Cardinal royalty.
And he's going to be like the Herzogs and Ozzie Smith doing – car commercials for the rest of his life in St. Louis.
Absolutely.
And again, he to Coop's point, he can do no wrong here. He hit that home run against the Mets, And then, well, yeah, when, and then when he kicked your buddy's bat when he come up after bad mouth.
Yeah, that was just wrong. That was wrong. I don't want to bring it up, but that was wrong. He started it there. We were blatantly attacked.
Blatantly attacked.
We were blatantly attacked.
Our guy tapped
his pad.
After running his mouth in the paper?
So what? That doesn't say go beat up the guy.
Yes, he didn't.
I knew this was coming. I did not say anything about that. I respected what you said about him, but I'm telling you, he blatantly attacked us.
There's another guy, by the way, that could go down as Reds royalty. I mean, he didn't win anything, but no Reds ever have. What do you mean by that? Brandon Phillips.
Weasel. That's a weasel move.
Go down as, because, I mean, at some point during his tenure, they've won 70 games this season. I mean, absolutely huge royalty.
Just keep lining shots, don't you?
And you know what? They keep trying to trade him. He doesn't want to go anywhere else. No, he wants to play there.
You can stay there and win 70 games, and you don't have to play in October. It's wonderful.
Yeah, and play golf sooner.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
What a weasel.
Playing a cracker box. Yeah. If you're a guy that would have normally 5 home runs, you'll have 10 or 11.
Don't have to put any extra work in.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Okay. No pressure. There's no fans.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Well, wait a minute. Now, hang on now.
What do you mean, hang on? I just got raped again. Hey. Leave my Reds alone. We're hurting right now. We got a team that comes out of a little yellow bus, and we try to do what we can.
You take a yellow bus to the games.
We try it. I mean, we do everything we can out there. Votto's overpaid. God, we got to get rid of that guy. He just brings me down. He brings me down, man.
He brings you down so much, you traded me Todd Frazier for him.
I didn't want him. My partner wanted him.
I'll tell you what, you're going to cut the cord with Hill.
Yeah, he's become a nuisance lately.
I heard you trying to make a trade about an hour ago.
What did you hear me say?
And you said,
"The hell with him.
Screw Hill. I'm doing this one on my own. I don't care what he says."
Yes. Yes, that's what it's all boiled down to. Well, we'll definitely fill you guys in on my future trades next week, too.
Yeah, I know. I'm interested to see how they go. Coop, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
As always.
Love talking Reds.
Yeah, make sure you're checking out our website, BleacherBumsPodcast.com, and, of course, Twitter, @BumsPodcast. And we've got
all the little stuff on the site, too, right? The Amazons.
Yeah, absolutely.
You click on Amazon there. You won't hear anything more from us. Buy something. And we get a little love back. We get a little friendliness,
you might say. Keep the show going. Don't forget to check us out on iTunes. Very, very easy to subscribe to the show. It's the best way to stay current with the shows. And, of course, with our website and through iTunes, you can go back and listen to a couple of our past episodes. Had a lot of great feedback when Benji Molina was so kind.
They loved me talking to Benji.
You know, more. I cannot tell you the number of people.
They got kind of tired of you saying, "Oh, what's a big deal about the first day?"
Yeah, well, let me tell you,
big day, first day.
It was a big day.
It's a big day everywhere. You don't think in Cincinnati we get pumped up for it?
You have about 10,000.
Yeah, I'm sorry, we don't have horses, big fat horses out on the field dropping big deuces out there in center field.
What's your average attendance?
I'd say about 10,000-12,000.
Jesus.
Well, I mean, it's a little colder there.
Opening day gives the
Reds. You're back again.
Yeah, opening day gives the Reds a chance to win 20% of the games they're going to win.
All right.
In front of a crowd.
You can get out of the sponge room 10, now.
10,000 people. That's a Belle Biv DeVoe concert, for Christ's sake.
It's about 10,000 to 16,000. All right. That's mostly when the Cubs come in town, add another 20,000. And that's
because it's a short drive over. Well, hey, thanks for being with us this week. From Jim, from John, from Jimbo, from Jono, and our man Coop. We're out of here.
See you guys.